Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, welcome to the Horse Hour podcast. Right now is the National Equine Forum, and I'm talking to Zach Banham-Hurd, who's from the Behavioural Insights team. Welcome to the Horse Hour podcast. My guest right now is Zach Banham-Hurd. He's from the Behavioural Insights team. Zach, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Amy. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
You're welcome. Now, one of my favourite things is talking about behaviour and psychology and why people do things. So yeah. Can you just share with us what it is that the Behavioural Insights team do? Because you actually work with the government, don't you?
Yeah, we work a lot with the government. Well, actually, we were started in number 10 under Cameron and Clegg as a small unit, trying to sort of explore ways to apply like a better understanding of human behavior to government policy and that kind of thing. Really small unit. They had like a 2-year sunset clause when the unit was set up, which was, I think they had to make something like 10 times as much money back for the government than it cost to set up the team or something like that by applying this new type of thinking. So they started on tax, trying to work out, okay, can you redesign tax letters to encourage people to pay their tax on time?
Sorry, Zach, that does make me laugh. So so they're going to change the words of tax to entice people to pay it, but it still does the same thing.
Yeah, no, it does exactly the same thing. It's just loads of things in the environment, like shape the way we make decisions. So it's not just, for instance, the information that we're provided or the costs or the trade-offs or something. It's quite literally like how information is presented, how it's framed, how we feel about things influences the decisions that we make. So the unit was set up to apply this kind of thinking of sort of a more like realistic model of how we actually make decisions to government initially, but now we work with private sector clients, third sector clients, or just, you know, if you're trying to think about how to change your behavior in your own life, maybe, okay, you're trying to actually go on a diet. We all know dieting is really hard, but maybe there's some little tactics you can use yourself to be like, okay, how can I make this thing I want to do stick? So that's kind of the type of thing we'd work on.
It sounds fun. Yeah. It almost sounds a little bit naughty though, like you're manipulating people. But I guess you do it for good, you don't do it for bad.
Yeah, well, we call ourselves a social purpose company. And we sort of get this, that's a question that comes up quite a lot because people don't feel like, it's not a nice feeling to think other people are trying to influence your decision making. Mm. I guess you can say the government is trying to do it the whole time. That's why they have things like punishments, or that's why they have like signs posted on the road the whole time to try and get you to stop speeding or something. I guess what we do is say, okay, if we're working for the government, how can we actually make those things so they have better outcomes for people? So how can you make actually a better speeding sign, for instance? Or how can you actually sort of like deter antisocial behavior or something? So yeah, and then the flip side is we also try and generally encourage behavior change without having to make the point is we don't make people do anything. So this is a way of trying to, if you're working with government, to be like, rather than introduce new rules or regulations, how can you just try and change actually bits of our environment to make it more easy for us to actually do things like pay our tax on time or to lose weight if we wanted to do that.
I like it. I'd love to talk in detail about what you've done for the government, but we, you know, we're from the equestrian industry, so we need to talk about the horsey world. And my goodness, have you got a huge task ahead of you? Because some of the hardest people to influence are horse owners who we're stuck in our ways. We know what's right. And and we're not very easily influenced by what other people think. So how would you then relate some of what you do with your behavioural science? Because you have statistics and things. How would you use that for the equestrian industry?
So I guess possibly in two ways. The first way would be, okay, is there sort of equestrian organisations that are trying to influence maybe the behaviour of their members or other people? So we work quite a lot with organisations that actually try and influence the behaviour of people that they're working with. Or are we thinking about just people in the equestrian sort of world who want to actually change their own behaviour? And so you can think about both. So for instance, if you're thinking about, so I know that horse obesity is a problem. If we think about human obesity, for instance, you could apply the same thing to your own self and other people. So if yourself would be like, okay, if you want to stop eating a whole pack of biscuits, probably a good idea to put them in like quite a high shelf. So it just makes it a bit more extra effort to actually go get the biscuits. Or if you're taking them into your sitting room, maybe just take like two or more, however you want, on a plate rather than the whole packet. Or if you're trying to work...
I've got one to advise and help with how not to eat biscuits. The worst thing is to take a full bag of biscuits to bed with you, because no matter how much you think that you're going to have one, before you know it, the whole,
exactly.
whole packet's gone.
And you're in bed, you're probably unlikely to get out of bed. That highlights two really important things there about change behaviour. If you want to change behaviour, make it easy. That's like the first fundamental thing, make it easy. If we make a good behavior easy, make a bad behavior slightly harder to do. In that instance, it's too easy just to, we take path of least resistance in bed. We're not going to actually take biscuits away, take them, hide them in a cupboard. So make it easier for yourself by just putting like a few on a plate and taking them to bed, and make that decision earlier. Mm. So yeah, number one rule, make something easy.
Yeah. Okay. So when I think about things that I'd like to change in the industry, I'd like people to be nicer to each other, because there's a lot of nastiness, there's a lot of backstabbing, there's lots of bullying.
Yeah.
So if, you know, I guess one thing is to make sure that my behaviour is that I'm supporting other people.
Yeah.
But then how would I go to helping other people be nicer? Because, you know, that's up to them to change their behaviour. So how does this behavioural insights work to a bigger audience?
That's an interesting problem, because obviously it'd be great if everyone was nicer to each other, and it'd be quite cool to work on a project trying to do that. But one thing that we could definitely think about is, we, just like horses are social animals, we're social animals, and we follow the herd. We follow what other people do. So if we think that being nice is the norm, and that's the thing everyone is doing, and we see everyone else being nice, we're going to be nicer. If we see other people being less nice, we're going to be less nice. So one thing you could do is trying to give more publicity or make it more obvious when people are being really nice. The problem is, for instance, online, we often see the worst stuff, because we only see, like, often we only see when people are really like angry or mean, and those are the things that get shared quite a lot. You don't necessarily see the stuff in which someone's done something quite nice. Particularly, like the news is a good example of that. We only ever see bad news. We don't see all the great things happening in the world. So often people think that the world is terrible. Obviously, the world in many regards is bad and can be improved. So if we made nicer behaviour more obvious and brought it to attention more, then I think it would show other people that actually most people are really nice. And people would follow.
So to influence people's behaviour then, on a bigger scale,
yeah.
Am I right in thinking there needs to be some form of leader? So if we go, rather than going too big, let's start with individually, for us to change our own behaviour, we need to make it easier for ourselves.
Yeah.
If we want to influence maybe 5 to 10 people's opinions, mm-hmm. So let's say a delivery yard, we want people to be nice to each other and have a supportive environment. Then the leader that builds in that ethos of it's a good thing, the livery yard owner who builds in that ethos of it's a good thing to be nice to each other and to be supportive, that's the done thing to do.
Yeah.
Therefore, everybody else will be nice to each other. Yeah. And then, so then to go to an even bigger scale, because mm-hmm. we do have a problem in our industry, Zach, of mm-hmm. very unsupportive, highly competitive, you know, there's kind of this middle run of people who just aren't nice. And so, and that becomes the culture. And we need to change that culture to, no, we're not going to you know, have a go at someone because they're wearing a different numner, or they're not wearing matchy-matchy, or they don't seem to be in with the clique. So on an even bigger scale then, how do the bodies like British Horse Society, like British Equestrian Federation, British Dressage, British Show Jumping, how do they influence the industry to be more supportive?
I think you hit the nail on the head when you're talking about leaders. So this is what we are really influenced by our role models, who we sort of, people that we identify with, we tend to shape our behavior to be like, okay, that's the person, I think I'm like them, or I want to be like them, I'll be like them. Likewise, the people who deliver a message is really important. So we call this the messenger effect, which is basically who is actually saying something is going to dictate quite heavily how we interpret it and what we do. So
for example, ambassadors.
Your ambassadors, yeah.
So if you've got an ambassador for a brand, then their message of what they're saying is reflecting what you're thinking as a brand. So it's important to select the right kind of ambassadors.
Yeah, really important. And likewise, the right type of people to offer information and advice. Like, I don't know, in the equestrian world, I don't know exactly who the best people are to give veterinary advice. For instance, it might be vets, it might be scientists, it might be your friends, it might be brand ambassadors. I don't know. Someone will probably be the best person to actually say the information. Likewise, to try and get people...
The vet.
Yeah, is it the vet?
Yeah, it's definitely the vet. The problem is that we think that we know better than the vets, and quite often our friends and our colleagues and that's why the equestrian industry is totally different, because we are so opinionated and we're a really hard breed to influence, because we're stuck in our ways. We do things very traditionally and we're so passionate about what we think is right, because a lot of our thoughts and processes are subjective.
And
opinion based.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You've hit on two really important things again there. One is, people in the equestrian industry have opinions. Everyone has opinions. And often if you want to change behavior, a lot of people try and change people's opinions or attitudes, but that often doesn't filter through to actually behavior change. Sometimes it does, but sometimes it doesn't. So if you want to focus on actually change behavior, maybe best to focus on behavior. And another point you highlighted was, we get stuck in our habits, and habits form really early. So if you want to change behavior, trying to target like a particular moment in time when people are most receptive to that is really important. So if you want to, for instance, if we did a trial in the past where if you want to get people to adopt bikes to ride to work in a city, the best time to target people with to advertise this new scheme is when people have just moved house. So they're much more receptive to changing their transport once they've already changed their house. Likewise,
wow, how did you find that out?
Well, we do things called randomized control trials, which is quite a fancy word of basically saying you get your sample of people that you want to run the test with. So this could be, I don't know, like thousands of homeowners in a particular area. You split them randomly into two groups. One group, which is going to get what you call the intervention, which is the new thing. So like an advert for a bike scheme. And then one group, won't get the same advert. Maybe it'll get a different advert or an original advert. And then you test the effect of that advert on the likelihood people adopt the scheme. That's what we call a randomized control trial. It's a bit like a placebo effect in sort of medicine. Like you could give people like a real drug, or you could give people what they think is a real drug and see what the different effect is. But going back to the thinking about when's the best time to try and change people's behavior. We like to go to the gym. People sign up to the gym much more on a Monday or the start of a month or the start of a year. That's the moment when we're receptive to like starting, okay, thinking about a new sort of fitness regime. So in the equestrian industry, can we think about when are the most appropriate times to try and help people change their behavior if they're wanting to? You might have some good ideas in there. I don't know. I need to do more.
I'm mesmerized by you. I'm completely lost. I'm thinking, gosh, when would be the best times? I think.
Well, yeah.
When I think about the podcast, so I release the podcast every Monday night because I thought, well, it's the night when there's the least amount going on. So that's when we have our networking hour, because I think, well, you know, especially in the winter, more people are in, they're in the warm, and they're looking for new ideas in the winter ready for the summer. Whilst in the spring and the summer, more people are out riding and, you know, there's a lot more going on. Obviously, I'd love to influence everybody in the world to listen to the podcast. And slowly but surely, I'm making my way through that, Zach.
Yeah.
But I'd really love to do some good. And so, you know, I guess we leaders have a sense of responsibility. You've got a huge sense of responsibility when you're thinking about how you're going to influence people's behaviour.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, it's a good job you're a nice person, because technically you could do a lot of damage.
So we acknowledge that, and we have an ethics review for all the trials and stuff that we run. And also it's something which I think anyone working with government has or even in big industries have a responsibility that they should be aware that, okay, what they do does influence people's behavior. And that's kind of one of the reasons why we say, well, we're big believers in actually trying to test stuff. So you find evidence to be like, okay, you are going to influence people's behavior, so you want to do it in the best way. Actually test what effect what you do has on people, so that you know if it's having a positive or negative effect. So often a lot of stuff that government does or private companies do, they might think it's doing a great thing, but might have the opposite effect. For instance, if you tell people, if you tell people that, for instance, right now with the coronavirus, if you tell people 99% of people don't wash their hands correctly, I made that up. I don't know what the fact is.
Oh, okay, fine. Because you were just about to freak out.
Yeah. But if you say everyone's doing a bad thing, then then people will be like, oh, everyone's doing a bad thing. Clearly that's the normal thing to do. I'll keep doing that thing. So rather than advertise the sort of something that people are doing wrong or something that you want to change, it's best to highlight the good thing that they're doing and advertise that.
So how can we cross this over to welfare, horse welfare then? Because it's hard to talk about welfare without talking about, you know, the awful things that people do. And if we, and I totally respect what you're saying, but if we go out there to not just the equestrian industry, but to the general public and say, you know, 10% less horses were abused this year than last year, again, I made that quote up, then actually people won't be donating and won't be looking out for the welfare of horses. So absolutely. How can we... Obviously, not all of your ideas are going to cross over with everything, but how do we influence people's behaviour to stop the abuse?
I guess one thing would, this is me speaking completely hypothetically, because I haven't worked on animal abuse or horse welfare or anything specifically, but if you're trying to stop that, you'd need to really dig down and work out what's actually driving the behaviour. Is it are people motivated to actually do harm? That they could be, and they'd be important to work it out. Or is it that they might not have the capability to not do harm? So for instance, do they have the right facilities or something like that? Is that the problem? Or do they have the right information on how to treat a horse correctly? Or do they know is it what people around them are doing? Is it because other people around them are treating horses badly and they're just following what other people are doing? is it that there for some reason is an incentive them not to treat a horse well? You need to probably really dig down to work out what is it that's actually driving the behavior in the first place and what would be the barrier to actually changing that behavior.
So this really fits in well with what Rolly Owers and Barry Johnson were talking about, the social license, in that what is acceptable socially, what do we, you know, generally the majority of society believe in. And if the majority of us believe that, you know, treating horses badly is the wrong thing to do, then society can influence that behaviour. So I guess what you're doing and the social licence go hand in hand.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we are absolutely influenced by what people around us are doing, even to the extent in which there's some really cool studies. They're quite old now, from like, I think like the 50s, where you literally show people like a piece of line on a paper, like a line. And people have to pick which one's the longest line. And it's obvious which one the longest line is. But if you sit people on in a room and 10 people say that the short line is the longest line, people suddenly are like, yeah, the short line is the longest line, because they don't want to say the thing. They don't want to be the odd one out. We don't like being the odd one out. So, yeah, we're completely influenced by what other people are doing. So highlighting good behaviours that other people are doing will help us actually do that good behaviour ourselves.
I like that. Okay. Well, then today I would like everybody who's listening to post a tweet or a Facebook or an Instagram and include hashtag horsehour, hashtag NEF20, and post something good that you witnessed today. And it might be something that you've done that's good. It might be one of your horse friends on the livery yard that have done well. You might be at a competition and think, you know what? I saw a lady today and her horse was a little bit spooky and she handled that situation really well. So I think, yeah, let's start promoting some goodness. Let's start making the change and being better and nicer to each other ourselves. And then hopefully, Zach, we might be able to make some change and make a difference.
Absolutely. If we did that, we definitely would make a change.
Well, thank you very much for your time today. It's fascinating. I'm going to try and persuade you to do some sort of experiment with us, I think. I think it'll be so much fun to see what we could do to really make a huge improvement in the industry. You can see Zach's talk live if you head to the nationalequineforum.com website, register, and then you can, if you're listening to this at a later date, then you can go onto YouTube and replay Zach's talk. So, Zach, thanks so much.
Thank you, Amy. It's been great having me on the podcast, and have a great day.
Thanks so much for listening. You can hear further guests at the NEF. I speak to Abigail Turnbull. She talks about surviving strangles at Richmond Equestrian Centre. I also talk to Rolly Owers, the Chief Exec of World Horse Welfare, and Dr. Barry Johnson, who talk about the social licence. And then I speak to David Rendell, who talks about worming and how horses are becoming resistant to wormers. And finally, Kirsty from the RSPCA, who's an inspector. You can also watch all the guest speakers at nationalequineforum.com. And if you're listening to this later, then you can play those back on YouTube. Hope you've enjoyed listening. I'll speak to you soon.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.